1952, a woman named Florence Chadwick stepped into the icy cold waters of the Pacific Ocean just off the coast of Catalina Island. She was determined to swim to the mainland of California. She'd already been the first woman to swim the English Channel. On this particular morning, it was freezing cold and foggy. She could barely see the boat that was accompanying her. And get this, she swam for 15 hours. And several times she asked the people in the boat to pull her out of the water. Her mom was also accompanying her in the boat, and her mom just kept saying, "Keep going, you can do it." Well, eventually Florence's strength gave out. She quit swimming. And they had to scoop her up out of the water, and they put her in the boat. And it wasn't until Florence got into the boat that she realized how close she was to the land. In fact, the next day in a press conference, Florence said this, "All I could see was the fog. I think if I could have just seen the shore, I could have made it." I love those words. "I think if I could have just seen the shore, I could have made it." In the Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, Paul says this, "We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. And we will see it all then, see it all as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly, just as He knows us." Friends, today we come to the end of the story. And I've given myself one solitary assignment today, and that is to help every single person see the shores of heaven, which, by the way, are much closer than you think. This last week, through Facebook and Twitter, we asked all kinds of people what they thought about heaven, and we had hundreds and hundreds of responses. I interacted with several people online, and I actually learned that when it comes to heaven, we actually have some apprehensions. We actually have some fears when it comes to heaven. The chief fear in our minds is really something like this, that heaven is going to be just like one huge, long, extended church service. That's what a lot of us think. And you know what? As much as we enjoy going to church, especially a place like CCV, most of us are less than excited about spending eternity there. Right? Presumably floating around, playing harps, singing. And here's what we think a lot of times. We would never say this publicly, but this is kind of how we operate privately. We kind of have this thing in our minds that heaven is certainly better than hell. It's just somehow less than earth. And that's how we kind of live sometimes, whether we even recognize that or not. And here's how it plays out. We say things like this, again, just in our minds. "God, of course I want to go to heaven someday," right? A student might say it like this, "God, I want to go to heaven, but could you just wait until I get my driver's license, until I get my car so I can drive, and then I'll be ready to go." A female might say, "God, I want to go, but could you just wait until my wedding day is over? I've been carrying these crazy bridal magazines around in my backpack since fifth grade. I want to have my wedding day." A guy might say, "God, could you just wait until my wedding night?" Right? Because I've been thinking about that since I was like 16 years old. Or a family might say, "God, just wait till our vacation to Hawaii is over. We've been planning this thing. It's the first week of August. When that is over, you can come back." And it sounds crazy, doesn't it? And it's kind of subtle, but we kind of have this thing in our minds a lot of times where heaven is certainly better than hell. It's just somehow a little less than earth. And I think that Satan has probably done a really good job in a lot of our minds of convincing us that heaven is less than earth. And this presents a huge problem, this equation right here. You see, if you believe that heaven is somehow less than earth, there are a whole lot of negative implications that go along with this equation. Maybe, again, you've never even really thought about it. The first negative implication of this mindset is simply this: you won't share your faith with friends and family and neighbors. I mean, why in the world would you, if you feel like heaven is less than, or feel like heaven is going to be kind of boring, why in the world would you want to invite anybody to spend eternity there? Right? And again, it's very, very subtle. But see how this fits in your life. Could it be that the reason you're not really that fired up to share your faith is because you're really not that excited about eternity? You see, when you and I get excited about something, you just share it. You do. Doesn't matter what it is. It's almost involuntary. Let me illustrate it. Men, let's say that inside this little envelope right here, I had 30 tickets to the Masters Golf Tournament coming up 6 weeks from now in Augusta. Round trip, all the passes, everything, and I give it to you right after church. You would be fired up. You would be telling everybody about, look what I got at church today. Students, what if inside this envelope I had 40 front row tickets to Taylor Swift, who's coming to town, or Justin Bieber, or Ed Sheeran, or Mumford & Son, or Muse, whoever. You would be telling everybody at school tomorrow, man, I got all these tickets, they're front row, it's amazing. Or ladies, what if inside this envelope was simply a map? And this map was to a brand new outlet mall. Hardly anybody knows about it, and it's actually very close. And this outlet mall has like 50 to 70% off all kinds of designer shoes and purses. Right? You would be telling everybody about this place. Friends, how many of you know that you can invite as many people to heaven as you want to? And the price has already been paid. In fact, the only thing you can take with you to heaven is other people. It's true. The only thing you can take with you to heaven is other people. But if you're not that excited and fired up about heaven, well, you're probably not going to be inviting people this week to go there with you. So I want to try and switch that up today. But before I do, let me share just another negative implication of this equation right here. If you believe that heaven is somehow less than earth, secondly, you will place unrealistic expectations on this earth. You see, if you believe that this life is as good as it gets, you will place a burden on this earth that it was never meant to carry. Listen to what A.J. Conyers says. If we manage to escape some of the bigger tragedies in life, which few of us do, life rarely matches our expectations. Every vacation eventually comes to an end, friends move away, and when we do get a taste of what we really long for, it never lasts. You ever been there? You ever had, man, we're planning this vacation, we saved up for this vacation, and when we get there, it's going to be it. Or we're building this house, we finally get to build our dream house, and this house is just going to be it. Or this car, or these clothes, or this furniture. Man, when I get that, it's going to be it. And then you get it, and you realize, you know what? Doggone it, it's not it. This just isn't it. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says. When I find in myself desires in which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. Isn't that good? Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Friends, I want you to know today, just up front, you need to know this, that my unapologetic goal today is to do my very best to set your minds and your hearts on things above. I want to fire you up about heaven today, and I want you to actually realize by the time we're done today that heaven is actually greater than earth. Heaven is actually greater than earth. And there are all kinds of reasons for that. If you're taking notes today, how about this first one? In heaven, we will experience epic accommodations. Epic accommodations. If you have a copy of the story, would you open that up to page 467? I want to read a little bit there. If you don't have a copy of the story with you, if you have your Bible with you, open up to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, we'll start right around verse 9 if you're carrying a Bible with you. While you're finding those places, let me tell you where we are in the story. We're near the very end. It's the book of Revelation. The guy writing this is a guy named John. And we could spend weeks talking about John, but for today, let's just say that John is kind of like our heavenly realtor. And he's painting a picture for us of this property, this place that we will live one day. And he gives us an incredible glimpse into what heaven could be like. Page 467, down near the bottom, Revelation 21 says this. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls of the seven last plagues came to me and said, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high. And he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And it shone with the glory of God. And its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like jasper, as clear as crystal. And it had a great high wall with 12 gates. And the 12 gates had angels at the gates. And on the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east and three on the north and three on the south and three on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. And he measured the city with the rod, and he found it to be 12,000 stadia in length, as wide and high as it was long. And the angel measured the wall using human measurement, and it was 144 cubits thick. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth ruby, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth turquoise, 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made out of a single pearl. And the great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. Pretty amazing description, huh? Now understand that John is trying to describe a heavenly place with earthly words. And so he's at a bit of a disadvantage, and I don't want us to get caught up in the exact details of heaven today. I don't want you to get to heaven someday and go, "Hey, you know, I found a street that's not gold, Todd," you know, and be upset, because I'm not trying to, you know. So the point is, there's a whole lot of things we don't know about heaven, right? But there's a lot of things we do know, that's some really cool stuff that is shared with us right here. And if you're taking notes, let's just work through a few of these things. In verse 16, John talks about the size and the scope of heaven. He says it's 12,000 stadia, which is 1,400 miles wide and long and high. Heaven, the New Jerusalem, being 1,400 miles high. Do you realize our current atmosphere on this earth is only like 70 or 80 miles high? Pretty amazing. By these calculations, according to these measurements, heaven is about 600,000 stories high. And there's no mention anywhere of elevators, right? So I guess if we want to go like the 900th floor, we just, you know, go. It's pretty cool. But again, I don't want you to get like all caught up in the exact square footage of heaven today. I think the point that is trying to be made here is that it's massive. It's huge. There's plenty of room for anybody who would want to come and be there. In verse 17, it talks about the walls of heaven. It says there are 144 cubits, which is 200 feet thick. They're as pure as glass. They're translucent. I love verse 21 because it talks about the streets being made of pure gold. Arguably, the most precious metal that we have here on earth is gold. And I love this because God takes our most precious commodity on this earth and he uses it to pave streets in heaven. Isn't that awesome? In fact, I kind of have this picture in my mind that one day when I get to heaven, I want to spend a few decades working for the city of heaven. I think that would be awesome to drive a big dump truck full of liquid gold, you know, and fill potholes. I think that's the way my mind thinks. I'm strange. You'll see that. Also in verse 21, it talks about gates, doors. It says there are 12 different gates or doors. And I just love doors. I'm also very much into photography. I spend a lot of time in photography. I want to show you a few pictures that I took this last summer. I was in Antigua in Guatemala, and I was in language school, and I just took all kinds of pictures of these incredible, incredible doors in Antigua. And I think part of the reason that I love doors is because they just tell such an incredible story. Every door tells a story. And in heaven, it says, these doors are like a pearl. Can you just put everything else out of your mind for a moment and imagine when we walk into heaven, walking through these huge gates, these huge doors that appear that they're kind of like carved out of a single pearl. There's an amazing story there, if you think about it. Because you know how a pearl is created, right? I mean, what happens is a piece of sand gets inside an oyster shell, and that sand irritates the oyster over and over, and so the oyster secretes this fluid over the sand over and over and over, and finally, after a whole lot of pain, a pearl is created. I have this idea in my mind that when we first walk into heaven, we first walk through those pearly gates. Maybe we should think about Jesus when we see those. Because how many of you know that it was after much pain on his part that he made something beautiful for us? In the Old Testament of the Bible, Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was actually upon him, and by his wounds we get healed." You see, our entrance into heaven literally comes through the pain of Jesus and through the price that Jesus paid for us on the cross. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm telling you, in heaven, we could go on and on, but the accommodations are going to be epic in heaven. It's definitely greater than this earth. Here's another thing I would say to you in heaven is that we will experience renewed relationships. Renewed relationships. All my life, I have been told stories about these incredible Bible characters, these incredible Bible heroes, and I can't wait for heaven because we're going to get to know them. We're going to get to meet them, hang out with them. And maybe you're thinking, whoa, 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 time out. Are you saying we're going to recognize people in heaven? No, actually, no, I'm not saying that. Jesus said it. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, Jesus says, "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and take their place at the feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." Another place in the Bible, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells a story about two guys who die on the same day, and they recognize each other in eternity. And friends, I tell you, I can't wait. You're going to think I'm goofing with you or just making this up. I am not at all. I cannot wait to sit down at the corner of Pearl and Gold Street at that heavenly Starbucks. I can't wait to hang out there with like David and say, "David, what was it really like to fight Goliath? I mean, tell me more about that." I can't wait to sit with Noah and say, "Noah, okay, just be honest. Just shoot straight with me. The ark, it had to smell. I mean, tell me about the smell. I mean, it had to be terrible. Tell me what that was like." Or Jonah, you're inside that fish for 3 days. I mean, tell me about your skin. What was it like to live in there? Was it dark? I mean, how did that happen? I can't wait to sit with Mary and say, "Mary, what was it like to hold God in your hands as a baby?" In fact, again, I'm just being honest with you, friends. I want to make a huge announcement right now, and I'm not kidding about this. I want to take this opportunity right now to invite every single person at CCV to my Bible Heroes Party in heaven. Okay? Honestly, I want you to come. It's going to be amazing. I mean, Noah is going to be there doing slideshows of the ark. Samson is going to be there to arm wrestle people. Peter is going to be out in the backyard by the pool showing people how to walk on water. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, heaven is so much greater than earth. And let me ask you this question. Who are you excited to be with? Who are you excited and fired up to meet in heaven? And maybe you're thinking to yourself privately, Todd, all those Bible heroes, man, that sounds exciting. And Todd, I'll definitely be at your party. But if you're asking me the question, what I would love to do is I want to get just a little table like this, and I want to get off to the side as much as I can away from everybody, and I just want to find my dad. Because maybe you lost your dad when you were little. And there's a whole lot of life that you didn't get to share. So you just want to sit with dad. Or maybe you're like my wife, Renee. She lost her mom when Renee was 19 years old to cancer. In fact, Renee's mom died just a few hours after I had asked for Renee's hand in marriage. And I'll tell you what, there's not a week that goes by in my wife Renee's life that she doesn't want to ask her mom something about life. Maybe for you, it's your husband, or maybe it's your wife, a child. Pastor Mark Moore says that heaven will be a place where fathers will see children who died in their cribs, and grandparents will introduce themselves to grandchildren who only knew them through pictures and stories. These renewed relationships in heaven, I'm telling you, they're going to be amazing. But I'll also tell you, by far the greatest relationship that you will experience in heaven will be with God. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" That is pretty incredible and amazing. And can you just like picture this? Can you just let your mind think on this for a minute, friends? In heaven, you are going to be able to say hello to Jesus. Is that crazy? You're going to be able to say hello to Jesus, the person we read and study about, the person who died for us on the cross and came back to life. And I just have this image in my mind of the first time I meet Jesus and he comes towards me and maybe reaches his hand out to shake my hand, or maybe puts his arms out to embrace me. And as he does, I see the nail marks in his hand as he gives me a big hug, like he's welcoming his son or his daughter home from war. I promise you what's going on in this world, whether you realize it or not, is that Satan is working overtime in our lives to try and convince us that heaven is somehow less than earth. But I'm telling you that heaven is so much greater. It's so much greater than this earth. These epic accommodations, these incredible renewed and restored relationships that we long for. And then there's just one other thing I'll have the opportunity to share with you today, and that is in heaven we will experience perfect peace. Perfect peace. It's hard to imagine, isn't it? Somehow living in a perfectly peaceful place. It's almost beyond us, actually. And John, in Revelation 21, he's gotten through the whole, you know, book here, and he's been trying to paint us a picture of heaven as he winds things down. But I think even for John, it's still just too amazing for us to imagine, and he knows that. And in kind of a strange way, I can resonate with John's dilemma as he tries to describe heaven. Let me illustrate it like this. I have a friend named Kyle Eidelman, and he's a pastor in Kentucky. And Kyle talks about how several years ago he was in Africa on the mission, doing a mission trip, and he had to talk to people through a translator because they didn't know the language. And maybe some of you have had that experience at different parts of the world. I've had that experience. And he talked about how trying to tell people about the United States of America, it's hard because sometimes it's just too good for them to imagine or believe. It's beyond their ability to comprehend. I mean, how can a woman who's never used electricity understand the lights of Las Vegas? Right? How can a guy who's never really had a hot shower understand the pool or the spa that many of us have in our backyards? And what Kyle discovered, and I have also discovered, is that sometimes you can do a better job of describing the United States by saying what it's not. For instance, If you lived where I lived, you wouldn't have to eat rice every day. If you lived where I lived, you wouldn't have to go without an education. If you lived where I lived, you wouldn't have to walk for hours and hours and hours to get water. You see, what I found is oftentimes I can actually do a better job explaining the United States by saying what it's not rather than saying what it is. Now, with that in mind, listen to the way that John describes the heaven that he sees. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3 through 5. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.'" By the way, you can get fired up about this whenever you want to, okay? "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And catch this, there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" You see, John helps us. That's fine, get fired up about it. I think it's wonderful. John helps us. What he does here is he helps us understand heaven by talking about what it's not. You catch that? He said there's going to be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. Pretty awesome. Which by extension, as you know, also means there'll be no more Advil. Right? Just think about it. No more Tylenol, no more Aleve, no more Dayquil, no more NyQuil. Pretty cool. No more arthritis, no more asthma. No more hospitals, no more ambulances. You're thinking, well, this is kind of cool, Todd. I've never really thought about heaven that way. Could you tell me, just try and describe to me what heaven's going to be like? Okay, I'll try. No more crime. No more violence. No more lying. No more cheating. No more stealing. How cool is that? No need to lock your doors or hide your keys or guard your wallet. I could keep going if you want me to. I could go on for just a little bit longer if you want me to keep on going just a little bit. How about this? No more half-dressed Super Bowl halftime performances. How will that be? Pretty cool. How about this? No more pornographic pop-up ads or pay channels. No more, how about this one? No more abuse. No more abuse. Ever. No more neglect. How about this? No more tear-stained divorce papers. Amen? I mean, how will that, just ponder that. How will that right there change our existence? No more divorce. No more fractured families. No more broken hearts. No more broken dreams. No more lost jobs. It's going to be pretty nice, isn't it? No more lost homes. That's pretty nice. By the way, your heavenly mansion won't be foreclosed upon because you didn't buy it. Jesus paid the price for that, amen. So you're going to get to keep that. No more lost homes. That one's yours for eternity. No more lost children. No more deaf ears or blind eyes or wheelchairs or crutches or canes. No more cancer. Cancer is gone. No Mayo Clinic in heaven. No more racism or rape or prejudice. No more jails or prison or stress or strife. How about this? No more shame. No more shame. No more guilt. No more embarrassment over past sins in your life. That's going to be pretty amazing. How about this, CCV? No more sons or daughters, moms or dads, husbands or wives going off to war. How will that be, CCV? Does that sound good? Can you take a little bit of that? How about this? No more IRS. No more FBI or CIA. No more ABC or NBC or CBS or CNN. I do know, however, that we will have ESPN. It's another kind of message for another time, but that's true. How about this one? No more CCV. Ever thought about that? Maybe you want to be a little bit sad, but don't be sad, because guess what, CCV? Up in heaven, we will join together with this huge chorus that says, from every tribe and from every tongue and from every nation, and we will come around the throne of God in heaven. It's going to be amazing. And I'm telling you, I love the little stickers we put on our cars here, but there's going to be no more CCV stickers on our heavenly hybrids. It's going to be all Jesus stickers in heaven. It's going to be unbelievable. And some of you are thinking, this is pretty cool. I've never really thought about heaven this way. But Todd, could you just take a minute? Could you please just do your best to tell me what is it really, really going to be like? How about this? A few more words from my friend Kyle. Imagine no more anxious waiting rooms. No more empty tissue boxes. Imagine no more tables for one. No more motionless ultrasounds. No more small caskets. Because he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And friends, I'm telling you, I promise you that heaven is so much greater than this earth. And I want you to know that the shores of heaven are closer. They're so much closer than you might think. At any moment, the Holy One could appear. And that day is drawing near.